my sincere gratitude to all of you for kindly being with us this evening in the sacred dham of Sri Navadvip. This year, we are commemorating the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's acceptance of sannyas, the renounced order. Beginning from January of last year through January of this year, it is especially auspicious and brings about enormous good fortune to contemplate, discuss, and deeply appreciate the reason that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left his wife, who was only about 15 years old, the most beautiful woman in the entire earth, who was perfectly loving and chaste and absolutely dedicated to the service of her beloved husband, Gauranga. His mother, who lost 8 children just after birth, beloved daughters, finally had a son who left home and took sannyas at an early age, never contacted his parents again for the rest of his life, whose husband died at a young age. All she had was her Nimai. But he left her. And the land of Navadvip, the most holy place of all holy places, non-different from Vrindavan, where his beloved friends, Advaita Prabhu, Srivas, Gadadhar, Nityananda Prabhu, Haridas Thakur, Sridhar, Kolavecha, Murari Gupta, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Vakreshwar Pandit, all the devotees and so many more were residing in Navadvip. The greatest Vaishnavas in all the universe were all assembled here. And throughout the day, he would roam around performing Nam Sankirtan and Krishna Katha with them and in the house of Srivas all night long. He would reenact the Rasa Leela of Sri Vrindavan with his most intimate associates and friends. He was most highly recognized, respected, and honored in the land of Navadvip. Among the scholars, this was the scholarly capital of the entire world. No one could defeat him in argument. He had defeated Keshava Kashmiri, the greatest scholar in all the land. As far as his influence in the society of Navadvip, With one order, he assembled millions of people, all armed with torches, to perform Harinam Sankirtan through all the streets, marketplaces, and bathing ghats of the Navadvip area, up to the house of Chankazi, who was Kamsa in previous birth. And the Chankazi, who hated Hindus, who outlawed their religious practices in public, ultimately surrendered and became Lord Chaitanya's devotee. Accepted Harinam Sankirtan as his life and soul and promised that he would never interfere, nor will any of the generations following him. What Lord Chaitanya had here in Navadvip was extraordinary. Material wealth is not very substantial as far as money and possessions. But relationships, that is something very deep and substantial. Because relationships touch the heart. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the deepest possible relationships on the highest spiritual platform with his mother and his wife and all of his friends and devotees and the townspeople. And he had everything here in Navadvip. People were giving him gifts. He had everything he needed for his family, and whatever extra there was, he would give in charity. Why would anyone leave a position like that at the age of 24? At the prime of his youth, at the crescendo of his career. Why? Many take sannyas because they're frustrated with life. He had no frustrations. Everything was right. Most perfect family, perfect friends, perfect kirtans. It was everything. He left only because he wanted to reach people who were distant and who were offensive. As a sannyasi, those people who were blasphemous and offensive and atheistic in Navadvip, he could reach them. Because if they bowed down to him, they would become liberated of all sins, and then by his grace he could give them bhakti. And everyone bows down to a sannyasi. The people who hated him, the people who threatened him, the people who were making conspiracies against him to physically harm him or destroy his reputation, practically everyone else was already his devotee. He wanted to deliver them because he loved them. The Lord loves every living entity. And as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so magnanimous. And what about beyond Navadvip, in provinces and other places? As a sannyasi, he would be free to travel here, there, and everywhere freely. And people would bow to him. Their sins would be removed because he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whether they know it or not. And then their hearts would be receptive to receive the seed of bhakti and prema from him. And also Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the role of a devotee, wanted to teach the world how valuable Krishna consciousness is. Prema Pumartha Mahan. The crest jewel of all goals of life is to love Krishna. Whatever occupation we may perform, whatever varna or ashram we're in, if it does not develop within our hearts a taste for hearing about Krishna with love, srameva hi kevalam, it is a waste of time. Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach the world that this yearning for Krishna, this longing for Krishna, this putting Krishna above and beyond every other concern in life is proper perspective. If we gain Krishna's love, everything else will be taken care of. Krishna promises in Gita, "For those who surrender with love to me, I protect what they have and I carry what they lack." The value of Krishna consciousness should not be taken for granted. It should never be second to anything else in our life. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya exhibited that he put it first and foremost. In fact, he gave up everything for it. References to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's taking sannyas are revealed in the earliest parts of his pastimes in this world. One particular reference was just after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance during the lunar eclipse on that full moon night in the month of Palgun here in Sri Navadvip, when everyone was loudly chanting the holy names. He was hardly a day or so old. He was a little tiny infant. He was a very young infant. When Nilambar Chakravarti, the father of Sachi Devi, came to the home to read the child's horoscope. Can I tell you this story? There's a secret in this story that you're going to know, but nobody else in Lord Chaitanya's family knew. In fact, nobody ever told them, but I'm telling you. Nilambar Chakravarti was one of the greatest Brahmins, astrologers, and pundits. And when he saw the horoscope of little Nimai, he said, "This is wondrous. It is well known, spoken in tradition and in our local scriptures, that a great king will be born in a Brahmin family in Bengal. And how he will give the greatest leadership to humanity." I see in this horoscope extraordinary qualities. This child is a divine being. He He will nourish the whole universe. Therefore, we will name him Vishwambar. And then there was a very saintly Brahmin that happened to be there for that occasion. And he began to explain what he could see in the horoscope of the Lord and through his own divine vision. He told all the family and friends that this child is Lord Narayan himself. He has descended into this world to establish the essence of all religions. He has come to deliver the whole world, to give everyone the treasure of love of God, a treasure that even Lord Brahma and Shiva long and aspire to achieve. Simply by seeing him, all beings will become happy. Because he will nourish the universe. By his grace, he will be known as Vishwambar. And because he will be so dearly loved by the residents of Navadvip, he will be called Navadvip Chandra. Jagannath Mishra, you are so blessed and so fortunate to be his father. I bow down to the lotus feet of Jagannath Mishra, the most fortunate man in all the world to be the father of this boy. Are you listening? The Brahmin said that much, but then he very deliberately stopped. Because in the horoscope and in his vision, he could see that at the young, tender age of 24 years old, this child was going to renounce his family, his home, Navadvip, and go into the forest as a sannyasi. But because the whole family and friends and everybody around were so happy with the birth of Lord Chaitanya, and it was a beautiful festival, he did not want to spoil their good time. He did not want to cause depression or despondency in their hearts. So the Brahmin purposely hid from them as a secret the inevitable fact that this child was going to be a sannyasi at the age of 24. But he was so overwhelmed with the child that he fell at Jagannath Mishra's feet and wept tears of ecstasy. Just to be able to see this child and worship his father was his greatest fortune. Jagannath Mishra, hearing all the good things he said about Nimai, he was in supreme happiness. And he started weeping, and he fell at the feet of the Brahmin, and they were both touching each other's feet, embracing and crying in happiness, united by the beauty and the mercy of the little infant Nimai. Some years later, Nimai was just a boy, maybe about 9 years old or so. His elder brother, Vishwarup, was so charming in every way. Nimai was especially restless and naughty as a child, like Krishna in Vrindavan. He wouldn't listen to his mother. He wouldn't listen to his father. He wouldn't listen to any of the neighbors. But whenever he was close to Vishwarup, his elder brother, he became very grave and sober. And Vishwaroop, he had no interest in any type of material enjoyment. His life, his soul was only to serve the Vaishnavas, to hear about Krishna and to chant about Krishna. That's everything. When someone develops this param drishtva nivartate, this higher taste for Krishna consciousness, then everything else in this world, it loses its attraction. It's stale, it's pale. It has no life, no substance. It's just a distraction. But to attain that higher taste, tapo divyam bhutraka yena sattvam, we have to deliberately cultivate it. When Lord Chaitanya was here, just by a simple glance or embrace or a single word, he could give you Krishna prema. But for his devotees, he's willing to give that same Krishna prema. But he wants us to want it more than anything and to pay a little price. It's a tiny price. People work for years and years to afford a house or a car or some clothes or jewelry. Yes? Or what else do people buy? A computer? I don't know. People work very hard. To get a house, you're working, you have a mortgage. 25, 30 years of your life, you're just trying to feed people and pay for your house, make some money, get some reputation. People go to college to get a PhD. How many years? Sometimes 20 years. And what do you attain? And then so much austerity. For people who have a job, it's 8 hours a day sometimes. 8 hours a day, and you work for sometimes 60 years. And in the end, what do you get? Death. Old age, if you live long enough, which as Kali Yuga goes on, it's going to be rare for people to live, to be old. When Lord Chaitanya was told, you shouldn't take sannyas at such a young age, he said, you should wait till you're old. He said, I don't know if I'll live till I'm old, so I'm taking now. Nobody knows that they're going to live till they're old. There is not a single young person in the entire earth planet that knows for sure that they're going to be old. Padam padam yatvi padam natesha. So many dangers. So Vishwaroop, he saw that people were working so hard for these mundane things. Lord Chaitanya, he says, just work hard practicing bhakti for just one lifetime. It's not much. And you're not going to get a house that's going to fall apart. You're going to probably get termites that you're going to have to fight against. And after some time, the plumbing is going to start breaking down, the electrical you're going to have to change. You're working so hard for that. You're working so hard for your children. Usually they get older and they just disrespect you. They don't even care about you. Work hard for this. Krishna prema. And what will you get? eternal life in Goloka Vrindavan with Krishna and Balaram and Radharani and the Gopas and the Gopis. Chintamani Dham, you'll have an eternal spiritual body, which is Satchit Ananda, full of knowledge and bliss. No more suffering, no more trace of suffering for the rest of eternity. Unending, unlimited, ecstatic joy of love. That's what I'll give you. Can't you just chant 16 rounds? Can't you just follow these regulative principles? Can't you just try to be a humble servant of the servant? A few years, and I'll give you all that. And we think it's so difficult. People do so much more for some fleeting pleasures or possessions. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prema Padayate. Unless we understand the value of prema bhakti, love of God, it may seem that Krishna consciousness is difficult. But if we can just appreciate the value of ecstatic love for Krishna, then whatever we have to go through in this life, it's actually very simple. It's a very small price. It's not so difficult. Therefore, it is so essential to associate with devotees who will cultivate, with help to cultivate within our hearts, the value of prema, the value of love of God, the rareness of bhakti. Rupa Goswami explains that pure devotional service is the rarest thing. And Srila Prabhupada explains, although it's the rarest thing, if one is simply sincere, serious, and does not have ulterior motives in that person's practice of Krishna consciousness, Krishna easily gives it. Appreciation is so important. Srila Prabhupada, when he moved into that storefront on 26th Second Avenue in a very downtrodden area of New York City at that time, there was a sign on it, Matchless Gifts. That was already there. It was some sort of a gift store, and it was named Matchless Gifts. So when Prabhupada moved in, he didn't change the sign. It's actually very symbolic what he did. Because everyone in this world is looking for matchless gifts. Matchless means without a match. The best of all gifts. And people were coming for, I don't know how many years, to buy some toys, or some clothes, or some jewelry, whatever they were selling there, in the name of supreme gifts. But Lord Chaitanya came specifically to this world to give the matchless gift, the supreme gift that has no match, love for God, the goal and essence of every great religion. And in that little storefront, Prabhupada was giving the matchless gift of prema bhakti to anyone and everyone for that small little price. Just for whatever years in this lifetime you have, just cultivate a taste to hear about Krishna. How? By hearing about Krishna. If you want to cultivate that taste to hear, the way you do it is you hear. Shushu Shro Shudatanasya Vasu Devakataruchi Syan Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirtana Sevan. We develop the taste for hearing through serving great souls in a humble, selfless service spirit. And then we regularly hear. nastaprayeshya bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. We study the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We come to the classes, we humbly serve and we hear. By practicing this, it's not that you attain it. It's just like a musician or an actor, actress or an athlete. They become champions by practicing and practicing and practicing. Yes? Of course, there's certain gifts of karma that come from previous lives. But they practice. And by practicing, they attain a certain state. But bhakti is not like that. Just be sincere. Practice. Practice hearing. Even if it doesn't taste good. Srila Prabhupada explains, if you have jaundice, sugarcane juice tastes bitter. But if you're healthy, sugarcane juice is so sweet. So if you have the disease, what is the cure? Drink the sweet sugarcane juice, even though it tastes so bitter. Drink it as an austerity, and as you become cleansed by it, you begin to taste its sweetness. So like that. The more we hear about Krishna as a discipline, with enthusiasm, the real austerity we're talking about is enthusiasm. You're not going to get a taste for Krishna by saying, all right, I want a taste, I'm coming to class. Okay, I'm listening, I heard it before. God, I have to hear this again. Everybody says the same thing in this Krishna consciousness movement. Again, I'm hearing this. But somehow or other, I'm going to stay awake. And I'm not going to get up. I'm going to stay here because I want a taste. That's a very long process. The practice is enthusiasm. Rupa Goswami says lopa, or greed, eagerness, is the price for getting that higher taste. That means we come to, even as an austerity, we're enthusiastic. Oh yes, I'm hearing it again. Wonderful. Let me. The more I hear it, the more I'm going to realize it. The more I hear it, the more I'm going to aspire to achieve it. And we pray to Krishna. We take shelter of Krishna when we're hearing. If we're eager to hear, everything we hear is ecstatic. Because Krishna is non-different than Harikatha. He's non-different than Harikirtan. And he reciprocates according to how you approach him. If you're eager to hear, it's going to taste like nectar. In time. If you're not, if you approach Harikatha as something ordinary, it will appear ordinary to you. Even when Krishna was here in this world personally, everyone saw Krishna according to their particular way of approaching him. In the wrestling arena, in Rangabhumi in Mathura, the wrestler saw Krishna as a big wrestler, as a good wrestler. Kamsa saw him as death personified. Yogis saw him as the Paramatma. The ordinary people saw him as an ordinary man. The young girl saw him as Cupid. The cowherd boy saw him as a friend. And the devotees saw him as the supreme object of their worship. So similarly, if we are eager to hear, and we practice cultivating that by coming to the classes, by reading the scriptures, gradually we develop. And how do we develop? By Krishna's grace. That higher taste does not come simply by our endeavor. It comes by Krishna's grace. Those two fingers that were necessary between Mother Yashoda binding Krishna or not. The two fingers that were the gap between the rope every time she tried to wrap it around his waist. Our eagerness, enthusiasm, and Krishna's mercy. If Krishna just sees that we really want it and we're practicing sincerely, then Krishna gives it. We should have faith. We should have complete faith that Krishna will give it. But we have to be very enthusiastic to hear about him, enthusiastic to chant his holy names, enthusiastic to serve the Vaishnavas, and patient. Whatever time it takes, it doesn't matter. Krishna makes his promise. All the acharyas have confirmed his promise. It is for sure. This is our goal in life. We cannot achieve it by our practice, but by the sincerity of our endeavor, we can attract Krishna's grace. And by that mercy alone, Srimati Radharani's mercy, we are given bhakti. Vishwarupa understood the beauty of love for Krishna. And he saw all people in Navadvip tragically wasting their human lives. There were thousands, tens and thousands of scholars here. But all they were concerned with was just getting higher and higher titles as scholars. Bhattacharya, Mishra, Chakravarti. They wanted more and more students wanted to become teachers. Teachers wanted more and more students. In Navadvip, all the students were fighting with each other over who had the best teacher. They would go to the bathing ghats in the afternoon when everyone would take their baths. And one group of students from one teacher would say, my teacher is the greatest, yours is useless. And then the others would say, no, yours is just ignorant, mine is intelligent. And then they would start throwing mud at each other from the Ganga and splashing each other. Sometimes they'd beat each other up, chase each other, fight with each other. This was going on every day in the Ganga. Fighting among students over who had the best teachers. And the poor ladies, they would come with their pots to get clear water for drinking for the family, and all of Ganga was muddy. They couldn't take water, and the Brahmins couldn't take their baths. It was all mud water because they were fighting so much in the Ganga. So much egotism. People were trying to make money and spending lavishly on useless things. Vishwarup, he really felt pity for these people. And he tried to explain to them, but nobody wanted to hear. He couldn't get through to them because they were too egoistic. So he remained throughout the day with Advaita Prabhu and the devotees. Not far from here, Sri Advaitacharya had a home. And there all the devotees would meet. They would do Harinam Kirtan and Harikata and worship the deity and serve each other It was the spiritual world. Vishwarup could not give up that association. He would practically get up in the morning and go to Advaita Prabhu's house. Sachidevi was becoming very worried about him. She would cook wonderful feast every day, just what her two sons loved. And she'd send little Nimai, go get your brother Vishwarup, we all know where he is. So Nimai, he would run to Advaita's house, and they were all doing Harikata, absorbed. Can you imagine? Gadadhar, Mukunda, Advaitacharya, Haridas Thakur, when they do Harikata, nobody falls asleep. Very, very deep, very emotional. They're there. When the discussion of Vrindavan through sound vibration, they are there in Vrindavan, in the pastime. And when they would be at the peak of absorption in hearing about Krishna, little Nimai would come and say, Vishwarup, my brother, mother is calling you home for lunch. Please come. And then Nimai would grab Vishwarup by the dhoti and pull him. When Nimai came to the house, none of the devotees could speak about Krishna anymore. They all gazed upon little Nimai. Small boy. So beautiful, his golden complexion, his lotus-like eyes, and his wonderful curling black hair. He was the essence of beauty. Every limb of his body was effulgent with enchanting qualities. The devotees couldn't move. They could not even blink their eyes. So enchanted by the beauty of little Nimai. And they were speechless. Then Nimai took his brother by the hand and they both left. By his yogamaya potency, they could not understand that he was the person that they were talking about. He was Krishna. He was the person they were worshiping. After he left, they shook their heads. What just happened? Who is this child? He's not ordinary. Advaitacharya said, there is some substance within him that I cannot understand that completely attracts and enchants my heart. They couldn't put the two together. That whatever love they had for Krishna was fully manifested whenever they saw little Nimai. And Vishwarup, right after lunch, he'd go back to Advaitacharya's house for more Harikata and the chanting of the holy names. Then, when he would come home, he would spend all his time in the temple of Vishnu in Jagannath Mishra's house and just worship the Lord. One day, Vishwarup happened to hear that his mother and father were planning to arrange for his marriage. And that night, without saying anything to anyone, he left home. And immediately he took sannyas. He was a very young man. Took sannyas. Accepted the name Shankararanya and never came home again. There was never a letter. Of course, there were no telephone calls or emails either. There was never a message. No contact. He was gone. When his mother and father and brother heard that he left us to become a sannyasi, it was devastating. Little Nimai was weeping incessantly. I've lost my brother, my best friend. And the mother and father, they were inconsolable. Sachi Devi was weeping, weeping, weeping. Jagannath Mishra was bereaved. And all their friends and relatives were coming to try to somehow or other pacify them. And Nimai was saying, actually, mother and father, he was trying to help his parents. He said, actually, we're very fortunate. And the friend said, yes, yes, you are very fortunate. Don't you know that it is said that when a family member takes sannyas, 10 millions and millions and millions of family members all get liberated from both the mother's side and the father's side. So how lucky you are. You are all liberated because your son, Vishwarup, has performed the glorious deed of becoming a sannyasi. How wonderful, how wonderful. Jagannath Mishra just looked down and said, he would think, oh, how wonderful. And then he would think of Vishwarup and he'd go, how horrible. He left us. It's very difficult. Nothing could console them. But then Jagannath Mishra began to become philosophical. And he was thinking that Krishna gives my son and Krishna can take away my son. Everything is in the hands of Krishna. And through this philosophy, he became somewhat pacified. But what pacified Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi most was Nimai. Everyone said, Vishwarup may have left, but the crest jewel, most beautiful and auspicious of all children in the universe, Nimai, is living with you. You are so fortunate. And Nimai promised them, said, please do not be sad. I'm here from you, and I will never leave you. From that day on, Nimai became the everything for Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. One day, somebody gave Nimai some betel nuts to eat. And he ate one. And by eating that betel nut, he became intoxicated. And he went to sleep and had a dream. It was a wonderful dream. When he woke up, he went to his mother and father and said, I just had an amazing dream. Please tell us, son, what was the dream? He said, Vishwarup came to me in the dream. He was a sannyasi. And he took me from the by my hand and said, come with me. Come with me. I'm taking you away from your home and I want you to take sannyas. Come and join me in the renounced order of life. And I told Vishwarup in the dream, Nimai said. He said, but what about our very poor and helpless mother and father? I have to stay here and help them. And I'm so young, I'm not ready to take sannyas. I have decided I will become a grihastha and take care of our aging parents. And then Nimai said, Vishwarup brought him back home in the dream and said, very good. Please give my thousands and thousands of obeisances to our mother, Sachi Devi. Then Vishwarup disappeared. After hearing about this dream, Sachimata and Jagannath Risha became very concerned. What will be the destiny of Nimai? Nimai became very immersed in studies. Practically every spare moment when he wasn't in school, he would study his books. He was so proficient. When Jagannath Misha first taught Nimai how to do the alphabet, as soon as he saw and heard it once, he perfected it. And every letter he was being taught, he would start drawing names of Krishna. And every subject that his teacher taught, just by hearing it once, he mastered it equal to and better than his teacher. Such a student at a young age. Jagannath Mishra was feeling great happiness in seeing his child in this way. But he was becoming afraid. So one day he told Sachimata, from this day, Nimai should give up all of his studies. Let him do anything else he wants except study. Sachidevi said, "What? I've never heard anything. Parents don't talk like this." He said, "Because when he studies the scriptures, he's going to understand how this material world is so illusory and temporary that he's going to become like his brother Vishwaroop. He's going to take sannyas and leave us, and he's all we have. We will not be able to survive." Sachidevi said, "But who will marry him if he's illiterate? And how will he make a living?" Jagannath Mishra was determined. He said, "One gets a good wife and one gets wealth by Krishna's arrangement, not by simply his study. Just look. I'm a scholar. I'm one of the greatest masters of the Vedas and the scriptures. And we hardly have enough food to eat from one day to the next. And look over there. And over there, and over there. There are business people. They cannot write a single letter of the alphabet. But yet they've made so much money that there are lines of scholars and pundits loitering around their house begging for a donation. So I declare it, that it is not by hard work or study that one becomes wealthy. It is by the arrangement of the Lord. So let our son remain ignorant and stay home. And Krishna, because he's a good boy, Krishna will provide for him." Then he called Nimai and said, "My son, from this day, no more studies. You can do anything else you like, but not study." So Nimai took that seriously, that he could do anything else he likes. He wanted to study. But as a second alternative, he did anything else he liked. And he became more mischievous than ever before. He and his friends, they would be out playing all day, and usually they'd be out playing all night. And Jagannath Mishra and Sachidevi were afraid to say anything lest he may start studying again. Vrindavan Das Thakur explained some of the things they would do. They would go out in the day, and along with all the games and mischiefs and naughtiness, they would plan for the night. Because nighttime is the right time for nefarious activities. So they would just be playing and looking around, and they'd see, "Oh, look at that beautiful, opulent banana."
suspicious.
Impediments help devotees to take shelter of Krishna's holy names. And actually, the amazing thing is, when the lights were on, I saw so many people sleeping, and when the lights went off, everybody woke up. Yanisha sarvabhutanam. What's... So speaking about darkness, they would plan out, they would see, oh, nice banana groves. We will attack it tonight. And then Nimai with two friends, they would put a big blanket over the three of them all at once, and they'd look like a bull. And then in the guise of a bull, the three of them would go into the banana grove and start running into the trees and knocking them down, one after another, knocking the trees, stealing the bananas. And the owner of the house, he would hear all this noise outside, and he'd come to his door and he'd see this bull. And he was really, really disturbed. And then the bull would run away. And then they'd take their blanket off and laugh and laugh and laugh as the poor man, his banana trees were all knocked down. But that was just practice for the next transcendental mischief. They would go to people's houses and tie the windows closed and tie the doors closed from the outside so nobody could get out. They would do this at night. Then they'd watch from a little distance away. And when people had to respond to the call of nature, in those days, there was no indoor plumbing. Everyone would come outside to do it. In fact, it was considered extremely contaminating to do those things in a house. No one would think of having a toilet in their house. But in modern progress, these same principles are not followed. But they followed it very strictly. And Nimai took advantage of the situation. And when nature called, they came to the door. It wouldn't open. They struggling, striving. First nature calls. Then nature cries. Then nature screams. Then nature howls. Then nature roars. They were screaming, ah! Let us out, let us out. They were trying to open the windows, trying to open the doors. They were like in prison. And Nimai and his friends would clap and laugh and run away. Success. This is what they did all night. One day, Jagannath Mishra happened to go out of town for a day. And little Nimai saw some pots, clay pots, just like tomorrow. Those of you who would like, we're going to be cooking for Prabhupada's disappearance day feast. How many of you cooked for Govardhan Puja feast? Please raise your hands or helped out. I think we had a... Hare Krishna. We had, I was told, 135 stoves. And they'll all be there tomorrow for Prabhupada's feast. And most of us were cooking in clay pots. And the clay pot, the same pot would be offered to the deities. but there is sometimes, and it would be all black. In those days, the Brahmins, they would cook once in a clay pot, and it would be all black, and then they'd offer it to Krishna, and they would not use the clay pot again. They'd throw it in a pile. So Nimai was sitting on the pile, and it was all black marks all over his beautiful body. It said he looked like a golden champak flower with black bumblebees swarming around him. So the neighbors went and called Sachi that your son is in a filthy, dirty place on clay pots. What? Sachi ran out and she said, Nimai, come down from that mountain of pots. You are all dirty. This is a filthy place. You are the son of a Brahmin. Come down. And Nimai said, it's not dirty here. It's very sanctified place. How can you say dirty? These pots were used to cook for Vishnu. That means it's very, very much sanctified. And besides that, my mother. And then he started speaking things that nobody understood. He said, wherever I am, that place becomes purified. Nothing could contaminate me. I am the source of all purity. And he entered into the mood of Dattatreya, his avatar, speaking this philosophy. And Sachi Mata, she said, my son, your father is a Brahmin and a learned pundit. He's going to lose his reputation if you behave like this. And you should know better. We've raised you with all high ethics. Why are you up there like this in this dirty place? And Nimai said, how am I supposed to know the difference between clean and unclean, pure and impure, if you do not allow me to study? Then all the neighboring ladies started chastising Sachimata. Said, you don't allow him to study? All our children, they don't want to study. We have to force them to study. You're so fortunate. You have a child who loves to study, and you don't allow him to study? Who has told you this misleading information to stop your child from studying? Nimai, as far as we're concerned, you should stay there. Don't come down until your parents allow you to study. Sachimata had to climb herself up all these pots and pick up her little Nimai and carry him down. When Jagannath Mishra came home, she told him, this is what happened. I think our son is very unhappy because we do not allow him to study. Ultimately, for Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata, there was only one purpose of their life, and that was to make Nimai happy. So Jagannath Mishra said, we will begin your studies again. And he called Brahmins to chant mantras, and he had musicians playing music, and he had all the friends and all the relatives for the ceremony of giving little Nimai the sacred thread. When Jagannath Mishra had the sacred thread put on Nimai, it wasn't an ordinary thread. Ananta Shesha, personally incarnated as that thread, to be close to Nimai always. And then Jagannath Mishra whispered the Gayatri Mantra into Nimai's ears. And as part of the ceremony, there were some yajnas and there was mantras being chanted. And then Nimai was given a little stick and told to go out and beg for dakshina. And when he had that little stick and he went out to beg, he actually assumed his form of Vamanadeva. And he went to people's houses, and everyone was falling in love with him and giving him some donations. Parvati and Saraswati took the disguise of Brahmin's wives just to give some donation to Nimai. And as he was doing this in his Vamana Rupa, Nimai with a little stick and a begging bowl, began to think. He contemplated. It is the age of Kali. And people in this world all around are suffering terribly due to the disease of forgetfulness of Krishna. The one cure in this age of Kali is the chanting of the holy names of the Lord. Hari Nam Sankirtan. My life, my mission, I have incarnated in this world to spread the glories of the Hari Nam Sankirtan movement. And very soon, I'm going to have a begging pot. And I'm going to have a danda. Because I am going to take sannyas. Especially to relieve the suffering of the conditioned souls by giving them Krishna's holy names. Thinking in this way, he became so ecstatic. The idea of rescuing suffering people and giving them love of God was so intoxicatingly pleasing to him. Becoming a sannyasi where he's free to go everywhere and anywhere to give love of Krishna, to give Krishna's name, was so beautiful. Nimai went into an ecstasy. His hair started standing on end and he roared. It was a supernatural roar. It was a small child. He was roaring. And the pandits, Sudarshan Pandit and others, they were wondering, what is the symbolic Vedic explanation for this roar? And they were thinking, he is going to deliver the world. Not long after this, Jagannath Mishra, actually I'm supposed to sing Damodarastakam, so I'm going to have to end very soon. Should I tell one more story?
No!
You are so kind, thank you. Jagannath Mishra sang Nimai studying so attentively, and he was just so sweet and so respectful and so polite and so, he was just so beautiful. After Vishwaroop left and he got to do his studies again, Jagannath Mishra, every time he would look at Nimai, his heart would explode with love, uncontrollable love. Every time he would hear Nimai's voice, his heart would melt. He just, 24 hours a day, he was absorbed in fatherly affection for Nimai. He couldn't even think of anything else. And as a father, he was so afraid that something might happen to Nimai. He would perform puja. And in his worship, the only thing he ever prayed for was, my dear Lord, please protect Nimai. Please protect him from danger. Let him live forever. Please protect him from any inconvenience, from any suffering. Just let him be happy. One night, he had a dream. He woke up from the dream and started shouting, Nimai, come home, please. No, no, not like this. Please, come home. And Sachimata asked, why are you saying this? Nimai's home. What is the problem? He said, I had a dream. It was the most wonderful dream. But at the same time, it was the most tragic dream. He said, in my dream, I saw our little Nimai. He was a sannyasi. His head was shaven. His beautiful, luxurious locks of hair were shaved from his head. He was wearing saffron robes. He carried a danda and a begging bowl. The form of our son, Gauranga, in this role of a sannyasi was so extraordinary. He was so beautiful. But my heart was breaking. And then around him, I saw all the greatest of all the devotees. There was Advaita and Srivas and all the others. And they were all worshiping our Nimai, who now was a sannyasi. And all around him, Nimai began to chant the holy name, and they were all chanting along with him. Chanting and chanting and chanting. And soon thousands of people were there. Then Nimai sat on a couch that was none other than Anantashesha. And he put his feet out, and Advaitacharya and Srivas and all the other saints were placing their heads in Nimai's lotus feet. And they were all chanting the glories of our son. Suddenly, the dream changed. And I saw Nimai in this sannyasi role. He was dancing in ecstasy in kirtan of the holy names of Lord Hari. Tears were pouring from his eyes. His limbs were trembling and his hairs were standing on end. And as he was dancing, millions of people were around him. And they all followed him. And Nimai took them all to Jagannath Puri, where millions and millions of people, induced by the beautiful form of our son, were crying out, filling the entire universe with Krishna's holy names. Sachi Mata, Jagannath Mishra said, Sachi Mata, I fear that our son Nimai, like Vishwarup, is going to leave us. Sachi Devi said, it was only a dream. Why do you take dreams so seriously? Nimai is completely attached to us. And not only that, but he loves his studies. He will not give up his studies for anything. She tried to pacify him, but he could not be pacified. Very soon after this dream, Jagannath Mishra, in the anguish of his deep mood of love, in imminent separation from his son, he contracted an incurable fever. And Sachi Mata was at his side, crying out, my dear husband, please do not leave me as a widow. Please do not allow Nimai to be without a father. He needs you. Please stay with us. And Nimai was crying, my dear father, please don't leave me. I need you as my father. If you leave, who is going to punish me? Who is going to correct me? Who am I going to be able to come home and say, Father, Father? Jagannath Mishra, as he was passing from this world, He prayed to his Vishnu deity. Said, I now, my Lord Krishna, I entrust Nimai into your care. Please protect him. And with Nimai at the feet of his father, Nimai had all the relatives and friends chanting the names of Hari around Jagannath Mishra. And Jagannath Mishra passed from this world, absorbed in the thought of his darling son Nimai, absorbed totally, his mind and heart focused on Lord Gauranga. As everyone around him, by Lord Chaitanya's own direction, was loudly chanting the holy names. On that very day, Jagannath Mishra went back to Godhead. He is Nanda Maharaj. Not an expansion of Nanda Maharaj, but Nanda Maharaj himself. Just as Lord Gauranga is not an expansion of Krishna, but is Krishna himself in the mood of Sri Radha. Nimai was weeping and crying. And his mother was weeping and crying. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, just as Lord Ramchandra wept tears incessantly when he heard that his father Dasarath had departed from the world, in the same way Nimai was weeping. Now what is this weeping? Krishna tells in the Gita that a learned man or woman does not lament for the living or the dead because the soul is eternal. When a person in ignorance cries for the death of a loved one, they're crying because they feel that that person is gone. That they cease to exist. But when a learned person or a devotee, when a loved one leaves, a devotee, in one sense there's a festival because they know that soul is going to be with Krishna. If a person's a good devotee, that person's going to be elevated to be with Krishna. Jagannath Mishra, definitely he's going back to Godhead. So that's a celebration. But that we are without his association, that is the tragedy. We don't lament for the person. We celebrate the fortune of the person. But we lament for our own misfortune that Krishna was revealing himself so beautifully through this devotee in my life, and now that devotee is no longer here. I could reciprocate with Krishna so dearly with this devotee, but now all the help, all the guidance, all the friendship, all the reciprocation we shared, he's gone. So in the departing of a loved one for a devotee, there's simultaneously more joy and more tears. But it's in knowledge. It's separation in the light of truth rather than separation in the darkness of ignorance. Nimai then realized that he was the only thing left that Sachimata had. And the only way he could console Sachimata was to promise her, I am yours. I am yours. I'm with you. Our father has gone back to Godhead. That is his good fortune. But I'm yours. And he emitted such love to Sachimata. He enchanted her heart so dearly that just seeing him, She totally forgot all suffering, all anxiety. She was in bliss. But if even 5 minutes Nimai was out of her vision, she would be longing and crying to see him again. We will continue tomorrow. No, day after tomorrow. Tomorrow is Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day. So tomorrow is most holy and sacred day for all of us. We have just discussed the disappearance of Jagannath Misra to go back home, back to Godhead. Tomorrow we will be celebrating Srila Prabhupada. Huh? Disappearance day is day after tomorrow? Really? I'm sorry, but it's the day after tomorrow. So we will continue the narration of Lord Chaitanya's Sannyas Lila tomorrow. Thank you very much.